I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I was asleep.
I was reading my detailed notes.
Sorry, Mark. You do write such detailed notes, and you do write excellent newsletters, which you can check out on the Patreon right now.
The newsletter is, I think, my best thing I've ever done in my career.
It keeps on. I keep on going onto the Stack Dropbox, and there's just a folder that keeps getting filled up with them. You put them in now Dropbox, and I had no idea you were doing it.
Oh, like,
how's he got access to the mainframe?
If I lose those, I have lost the biggest amount of work I've ever done
in my life.
I tied it up the other day, and it is, you know, when people, a standard novel will be between like 20 and 30,000 words. It can be
what?
Short. Yeah.
Really?
So if you did a book.
I wrote that for the Ramble.
if you do a book for like, that you ghostwrite for two famous people, for example, they will say to you, we want it to be between 40 and 60.
Yes.
I looked at one of them the other day and I was like, well, that's each newsletter eclipses that. I was thinking,
are you allowed to talk about who you ghostwrite for? Is that not part of the deal?
No, I've literally signed
an NDA.
An NDA,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
So
there's two
of
them.
It is very much part of the deal, but the deal is I never say. Yeah, so I can't say that. Bestseller. Yeah,
okay.
Excellent reviews.
Yeah.
All a fraud perpetrated on the British public. But there we are.
National treasures.
But I looked at it and I was like, Jesus Christ, you know, this is like, I've done well over a million words in this. And I was looking at it and I was thinking, oh, it'd be great to just sort of go, actually, what this does is we didn't start it in January 2020. It started in like April or 2019, whenever it was. And so it's like, you can't do years because it's like, oh, I fucked it. Absolutely fucked it. But what I was looking at is I'm going, actually, what it is, of course, it's the history of the lockdown era of wrestling.
Mm.
And I could put
that
together as a big book.
Yes.
And it's a too big a book.
It's too big for a book.
It would be. I mean, I think it's something in the region now of 750 A4 pages.
Yeah,
that's too big.
That's too big, Mark.
I'd also have to go through and take out a lot of the photographs, which are not my property.
Not your property. No,
it's a fanzine.
It's a fanzine.
Stop crying, lawyers. It's a fanzine. Don't worry about it. Really, don't worry about it.
Oh,
so, I mean, look, it's the greatest thing. So, I make sure it's uploaded because I think if I lost anything, like a hard drive, that would be the thing I'd be like, oh well. That was a huge amount of work, and it's all gone.
Yes.
So I just want them protected.
Oh, well, look, I mean, I'm not going to delete them. I'm not making any plans anyway.
Good, good. That I can sleep better at night. That's been preying on my mind. Welcome back. Hey, look, it's WrestleMeet. We are doing WrestleMania 36 Night 2.
Yes.
Oh, we're coming close to the edge.
Oh, wait, we're so close to the end of this horrible adventure.
So close. Yeah. People have been asking, you know, a little bit on Twitter, just going, what is going to happen?
Mind your business, cunt.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah. All of you, mind your own fucking business. Apologies to anyone listening in the car. But, I mean, you've seen yourself off there.
Daddy, can we listen to one of the wrestling podcasts?
Yes, I'll just see what's popular in the UK. Oh, this sounds fine. Oh, I'm going to crush the car now. I'm so angry. So what we're going to be doing is basically telling you to mind your own fucking business. Can you not hear?
Just the anger in our voice, you cunt.
If you'd like to come and see us live,
yes.
We're doing a show at the London Podcast Festival. I'm advertising advertising it. There's no point. It is sold out.
It's sold out.
It's all gone. Yeah. So thank you very much to everyone who bought a ticket. If you didn't buy a ticket...
I'm so angry at this point.
You've been recording a ramble this morning, haven't you? You've been hanging around with those three rough boys.
Rough boys talking about those three chads. Three hunks.
Yeah. The man with the flare-up his arse. He's a ledge.
I like phone a bin, actually, in Manchester.
That bit when they had the final and it was Wembley Way and it was violent. That was the best footballing ever. That's how I imagine it goes. We are going to be just going through WrestleMania 36. You know the format by now. Come on. What did you think about night two?
It all kicks off with the Jack Sparrow man. They just repeat the same advert.
They do. Really lazy.
Really lazy.
Really bad.
What's going on there then? Why have they just do that? And his accent has not got any better.
No.
With 3 weeks space in my mind.
To not have a second thing of going, it's night two, just is...
really lazy.
That billion-dollar company doing entertainment. It's so bad.
One day in an edit room. Yeah. Just recut the same stuff you had before and just put the different voice over.
Exactly.
It's clearly not expensive.
The Caribbean has got sequels. You just go, it's the obvious
different
thing
story,
of going, we'll do the second one.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be called The Black Pearl and, you know, we can do that. What I did like about it, though, I got to see it and there was a bit I hadn't noticed the first time round, which is there's a bit where Seth Rollins is facing off against a giant monster crab.
Yes.
And the voiceover says, he goes, we all know this story. I don't know the story about Seth Rollins and the giant crab. I would like to hear more about it.
It sounds like a WWE licensed children's book, doesn't it?
Yeah. Or one of those cartoons that they put on.
Yes.
We should actually one day watch Scooby Doo and the WrestleMania Mystery.
Oh,
it's Scooby Doo and the stars of the WWE.
When was it sorted?
A little bit
too late for WWE and a little bit too early for the other way around.
About 2010, I think.
Oh,
2010
my God.
Or 12.
Which you know, 12-year-old kid or 8-year-old kid gives a flying fuck about the Dandy Dream Machine, called.
It's exactly that. You're either really into Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Or you're into WWE.
But I don't think kids nowadays like Scooby-Doo. It's what McMahon's... It was McMahon's last interesting...
I've heard of that interesting dog. that interesting dog and Miz would be an excellent team. Oh, Miz, how you doing?
I don't know what you know. You know more about me than I know about you.
Why we'd bring you in to solve ghost mysteries with these teens, I have no idea. Well, I'm here to stink up the joint.
Once again.
This WrestleMania, as everybody knows by now, is during the kickoff of the pandemic. So COVID is hitting and everyone has decided... this is more serious than we wanted it to be.
The giant crab's a little bit more giant than we realised.
Seeing like weird parasite creatures attacking their wrestlers, there is a bit of a sort of like, I bet there was someone backstage just going, how could we have guessed that this would be bad?
Oh, Mark, someone I know works for a radio station that I shan't name. Mm-hmm. Whenever there's an atrocity, the head of music has to go through all the music and check that anything's not offensive. So they'll remove Massive Attack inexplicably.
Yeah.
And it was the Plymouth shooting over the weekend. I think everyone will be aware of that. And so he went through the whole fucking thing, pulling out all the offensive sounding songs that could be misinterpreted, I think, as offensive.
But by no one.
I genuinely think that's a it just plays into the dumbest people's hands, in my opinion.
Completely.
Missed Scooby Snacks, which by the Funland Criminals, which starts with, if any of you motherfuckers move, I'm going to execute every motherfucking last one of you.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd think that would be on the list for things you just don't want.
But you'd also think that line isn't played on UK radio very often. There's not like an X-rated radio station that's like, we absolutely always have the F word in. That's a big thing to us. I mean, but then you get that thing of later in that song, of course, you've got like running around, and then anytime you've had something like that, you're a bit like,
yeah.
When you start going through, I remember like when the Gulf War happened, that was the first time the tabloids reported that all of the radio stations were getting rid of any songs that had the word fire, attack.
Yes.
They got rid of Panic by the Smiths.
Right.
Because it had the line, hang the DJ. And they were a bit like, oh, that's also like violent and deathy.
Right. And specifically about us.
Yeah. I always, you know, really odd sort of like decisions they make. There is a part of me that kind of goes, radio stations do this as well, and then immediately contact the press and say, we just want to let you know we've got rid of it. And they're guaranteed to have their radio station mentioned on page five. You know, this whole WrestleMania was recorded between March 25th and March 26th, the night of. Mm. So they did it all through the night between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. They did that to prevent spoilers, they said. I mean, it's not like during the day, loads of people are peering in at the performance centre
with a
notepad.
And also,
I got a scoop.
Especially under COVID lockdown as well. You couldn't really get in or get out. And also, the wrestlers are the only one, and the wrestlers and the writers are the only, and the camera people are the only one in. So the only people they seem to not trust are the camera people.
Entirely. But what it gives this whole WrestleMania, and it's when you know that, when you watch it back, it does have a feel of being recorded at a time when no one else is about.
Yes.
And the rest of, if you ever work really late, if you're working until 2 a.m. somewhere, there's a weird sort of like slight loneliness that pervades like an office building.
Yeah.
There is nothing lonelier than an office building at 2 a.m. when you walk through one of those with no one in it.
Yeah.
You know,
even the cleaners have gone home because they're on the early
shifts. I mean,
shifts.
That is just bleak as. You really feel like the only living person in the world.
Oh, I'm top floor, Bauer, Absolute Radio, and I'm getting a hot chocolate from the best coffee machine that's next to the CEO's, and I'm like, oh, I'm reliving life. Only 5 moments before I've got to go home.
It's basically, if you were there and there was an illegal fight club going on, it has the same feel of this. It just feels like no one quite wants to be there, and everyone's really aware it's late, and it just feels a bit sort of brittle and a bit sort of like icy.
Am I getting the early train or the late train? What's going on?
Exactly that. Oh, it creeps me out slightly watching this. They had a dark match as well. Why do you have a dark match when it's A, pre-recorded, and B, there's no fans? Well,
they seem to have something after Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar at the end as well.
They do.
But it's not on the network show. I mean, I presume it's in the network somewhere.
It's shown on the Raw following WrestleMania.
Okay.
Odd decision, really odd decision, because it means that essentially what happens is after McIntyre wins the belt, they had a title defence against the Big Show.
Yeah.
The match that he had against the Big Show was longer than the Brock Lesnar match.
Right.
But, I mean, there is no getting around the fact that that was the main event of WrestleMania. It ended WrestleMania 36. So that Big Show can now say, I have main evented WrestleMania. He obviously main evented it in a triple threat match in about WrestleMania, what would it be, 16. Mm. But he can say, I main evented WrestleMania 37.
Yeah.
It was 5 to 5 in the morning.
My tired big bones.
I'd obviously not been part of the Big Show, so I either had to get up at 3 to drive in, or I was there all night.
Yeah. It's the Holly and Phillip shift, isn't it?
Just terrible times. But it would also be Big Show's last WWE match. He would jump to AEW. So basically, his last match was the main event of WrestleMania.
Well, there you go.
Like Steve Austin, you know. But unlike Steve Austin, Big Show has now carried on. The dark match saw Liv Morgan beat Natalya. I mean, just weird. Just weird. Empty. Going through like sort of a horror film about people still doing stuff after the bomb.
Yes,
the bomb has gone off and they're still turning up at the factory and pulling out the levers because they don't know what else to do. That's Liv Morgan versus Natalya, wrestling in an empty room.
Yeah.
Are they filming this? Well, I don't know. I mean, some of the lights on the camera seem to be on.
Really getting the crowd going.
These chairs are hot. And then we get the first match, Charlotte Flair versus the NXT Women's Champion, Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley, new for you, PT.
Yes, I like her hair and I think I could probably do her hair.
Yes,
Stay tuned for the rest.
Ripley is from Adelaide in Australia. She was growing up, one of her big inspirations in wrestling was The Miz.
What's going
off to
on?
A bad start. She took part in the Mae Young Women's Tournament in 2017, and she was signed by WWE, and she debuted in NXT UK in October 2017. When she started, she was like a stereotypical Aussie surf girl.
Yes.
She was wearing pastel sort of, you know, cropped
long
top.
Blonde hair.
Sort of long blonde hair, big smile, you know, pale pink lipstick, all of that. And within, basically, in 2 years...
Electro-goth.
Yeah, completely.
The thing is, the problem with that is, and I know gimmicks get given and you know, looks get handed over and stuff, but I mean, presume like someone like Paige has always been a bit of a goth and she came in looking like a goth. It's really hard to sell the kind of anti-societal kind of punk rock ethos, I think.
You know
like
what it
that.
Is? It's university. We've seen her in the first year. She turns up all fresh-faced.
Yeah.
She's from Hastings, yes. And she's come to the University mm-hmm. of Leeds. By the time she graduates, she's Dave Garn from Depeche Mode, and she's got a tattoo of the...
Sylvia Plath. Yeah, Sylvia Plath line.
The Egyptian Ankh symbolising death on her face. I we saw a lot of this when we worked at XFM, so when we'd have like a work experience, we'd come in for a week, they would come in, they'd be...
On the brand within the week.
Yeah, Andy from Preston. And then within 4 days...
He was a member of Baby Shambles.
Yeah, he's in Claxons. They're playing Bene Kassim. You know, it is funny that for me, it's exactly the same period as university for Rhea Ripley. But you're absolutely right about that, because it's always given to me a slight note of inauthenticity that she's really sort of like, oh, I just love that heavy metal. And she's all sort of like devil horns and sticking your tongue out.
And also Aussie rock bands are shit. Yeah. I like... not Sparkle Horse, are they Aussie? I can't remember now.
Sparkle Horse, aren't they like a fey shoegazing band?
Yeah, I think they don't know. They're American.
Hey, man,
they?
You know what I like? I like the heavy, heavy sounds of Slowdive.
No, I'm thinking of Powderfinger. Powderfinger.
Powderfinger.
Powderfinger. They like Oasis, but they're Australian.
Amel and the Sniffers, they're good. they are good. They're a sort of like raucous, noisy punk band with a lead female singer. she was going to be played in this year by Ash Costello, who is the lead singer of New Year's Day.
Right.
Are they anyone that you
they
know?
They sound emo.
They do, don't they? But obviously she cancelled because of the pandemic. Right. I think she would play Rhea Ripley in the next year.
Right.
So it's nice to see Rhea still into that music that came along so quickly.
She's not moved on to ska punk or something.
No. She's also got one of those big tribal earrings, you know, the big hoops that go through that are only ever worn by tattooists who specifically do body modification. That's something that's never caught on with the wider public.
No, but what, like flesh tunnels?
Yeah. Awful earrings.
Well, those awful earrings.
Oh,
the girls wear.
I'm going to push Frankfurter through there. You know. Yeah, here we go. Look, all the way through. Didn't even touch the sides.
Oh, look, if I take it out, it just shrivels a bit. Oh,
inside? Oh, my God.
What do they smell like?
They are basically the head's bumhole. I've created a bumhole on my head. The last thing anyone needs. This is the first time.
For the NXT Women's
Women's Championship.
She's got a bum on her face.
The other thing about her, which is very, very disingenuous.
Right.
She's... How tall do you think she is? How tall?
Oh, I don't know. She didn't... She's quite...
Big tall lady, didn't she?
Yeah, she's quite... diagonal. She's a big diagonal.
Yeah. Roughly... Have a guess.
I'm going to go for 5'11".
She's 5'7".
Oh, what?
She has the nerve to move around that ring and give the impression she's at least
gigantic.
6 foot. Yeah. And when she's with...
Charlotte Flair seems quite big.
Yeah, suddenly you begin sort of going, what's going on here? And there are people like Dakota Kai, who is an NXT performer, who has had matches with Rhea Ripley in the past. And they really play up the height differential. And I think Dakota Kai is actually like 5'1".
Right.
I don't want to be like a wrestler from the 80s, but you do sort of go, yeah, it's a little shrimp. Tiny little shrimp. In my day, you had to be a man mountain. That's why everybody else is dead. But I do think they should occasionally, during Rhea Ripley matches, just flash up a card that says, just so you know, she's only 5'7". We don't want to mislead you. She's 5'7". This was the first time the NXT Women's Championship, and I think any NXT belt, has been defended out of WrestleMania.
Right.
Which slightly is not as impressive considering how the result goes, which is that you bring a big NXT star, the top of the brand, into WrestleMania, and she just loses to Charlotte Flair. And I should say, watching this back, more and more as we've done WrestleMe, when we see the matches of Charlotte Flair, I realise how brilliant she is in a way that I didn't really realise when we were just watching it normally. Every single match we've seen her in, she's great in. She does the sort of passion of wrestling better than I think anybody else, really, male or female.
Well, I think the ramping up in this match, the storytelling, like starting with the knee stuff, I thought was really, really good. I mean, but it did go on for too long. It went on for 20 minutes. We didn't need 20 minutes to start.
It doesn't. I think they slightly do that because they go,
silence.
Charlotte Flair really is this sort of great big-time performer. But, of course, 20 minutes in the silence
It's hanging people out to dry. It really shows up any deficiencies in anyone.
It really does. You lose the as you say, like the build of the match, they do a great job on that. Mm. But what you lose is you lose a crowd getting behind it, and it sort of being injected with that excitement. Mm. So all you get is basically you go, well, that wasn't as long. It didn't feel as long as it was.
Yeah.
Or you go, that felt long. That felt every second of that. And annoyingly, for me as well in this, is Rhea Ripley comes out and she isn't wearing the costume. And I do say costume because I'm not sure she's 100% the part of that lifestyle. She's not wearing the costume that she normally wears.
Right.
So for WrestleMania, she's gone, I'm going to wear a white, gold and blue outfit.
Mm.
Who was it modelled after, Pete? Let me tell you.
Ooh.
Vegeta or Vegeta from Dragon Ball.
Oh, okay, right, I see.
He's a sort of daddy character. I'm going to say to Pete, I'll give him a capsule profile of who Vegeta is.
Vegeta.
And it just said, oh, son of Bonto.
Oh, he's one of the main guys, isn't he? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I sort of get that, sort of.
I mean, two things about that. One, if it's your first WrestleMania, wear the gimmick that brought you to the ball.
Yeah.
You don't sort of go, I'm going to give you a new look.
I found this Dragon Ball
for my first appearance. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a bit weak. And also, I sort of do go, oh, modern wrestlers are such fucking nerds. You know, into Dragon, you know, you're in wrestling. Why wouldn't you go, I'm going to pay tribute to, I don't know, Sensational Sherry.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, because that's what I like. And you're like, do you know what though? I really like Dragon Ball. So I'm going to bring that in.
I'm going to dress as Dog Tanyan.
I mean, you know, if you started turning up to this, sort of going, I'm dressed as something I like.
Would you
go,
be surprised though? No,
I wouldn't. But would I be not disappointed? No. No.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy Mae Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Charlotte Flair's also very good at the talking in this match, and the talking is something that the first night we've seen a couple of people who are good at it, and the rest of it's been very awkward.
Yes,
and Seth Rollins was very irritating doing it. But what you get here is you get Charlotte Flair actually doing really, really good talking, and it enhances the match for me. So there's a bit where Rhea Ripley just sort of grabs her around the back in the sort of arm thing, and Charlotte Flair just goes, "Get off me! Get off!" And I like that sort of sense of going, you're in a match, you're just constantly saying to the other person, "Fuck off! Don't touch!" Exactly what I'd be thinking and doing. This is the first time, obviously, the NXT title is defended at a WrestleMania. It's a mad, mad decision, really, to take an up-and-coming star against someone who is, you know, very, very established and have them tap out clean in the centre of the ring. That seemed like a strange decision.
Yeah.
At the time, people still thought of NXT as being the developmental stream, but they were shifting that and they were saying, no, it's not. It's a separate brand. And I think there was the sense of going, Charlotte Flair will now come back, even though it seemed like, I don't know, it's just, it still has that tang of developmental around it. So her winning didn't seem to do it any help, really. Yeah. She does do the breaking into tears routine a lot in her matches. Right. And she does it very well. And she gets frustrated. Like, I can't believe they're pinned. What else will it take? How can I find anything more to dig down into? But she does do it on every single pay-per-view. And you could say, well, her character is that she doesn't think anyone's in her league. So she's always surprised when it turns out they are. But there is that thing of going,
you're crying at work every day.
I mean, yeah,
you
exactly.
don't do it anymore.
For 3 years of being surprised that the people you wrestle are good, at some point you're going to cotton on and just go, actually, I probably shouldn't underestimate them.
No,
they're all quite good.
Yeah.
Don't need to start bursting into tears and just going, what do I do now? What do I do? I thought this was a good match. I mean,
yeah,
it's...
too long, but solid.
Yeah, completely. I think under normal circumstances, this would have been a bit of a sort of like barnstormer. But as you say, I mean, I think what they are still doing at this point is working out, and they don't know that long matches really don't work in these empty arenas.
Yeah, you forget that this was the very beginning of all this.
Completely. And you know...
It's a testament to the skill of the writers and the skill of the performers that anything... You could take anything from this. It was actually quite a good few matches where you're like, oh, fuck,
yeah,
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, thank God there isn't a match that goes 40 minutes suddenly sticking in the middle of the card. Absolutely ruin this show. The second match, Aleister Black versus Bobby Lashley.
Yes.
I really enjoyed this little match.
Yes, I did. All I know about Aleister Black, we've seen him before, haven't we?
I think we've seen him on some NXT shows that we might have covered, yeah.
But he
was actually in WrestleMania last year as well.
Yes.
He was in a tag match.
Yes.
Team of Ricochet.
So I know him as the man who shattered his testicle into 7 pieces.
Yeah.
How do you do that, Mark?
Let me go through this story, which I don't think is particularly accurate.
Right.
Okay, so he's now left WWE. He was fired earlier this year, and he's signed by AEW. Mm. And he's now goes under the name Malakai Black.
Right.
And since he's left WWE, this sort of like mysterious character, he's done a lot of interviews. Every time I look online, there's a new interview with him.
Right.
And this is one that he's got to the point now where he's going, well, I've done all the interesting stuff about what it's like backstage and how I feel, what my career went.
Talk about my balls for a bit.
I'll just tell stories that I think slightly ruin my persona of being a mysterious, dark Aleister Crowley mage. He was talking about the injury he got on NXT in 2018. He said, Tommaso Ciampa had just won the NXT title from me. We were on the road, we were in Las Vegas, and we had this thing where I jump on the top rope, he comes running and crotches me. He came in with so much force that as I'm going down, his head collides with my nether region. He's Dutch, by the way, so some expressions he uses
delightfully
become
European.
Phenomenal. Because of that flinch, I couldn't catch myself from falling on the post. So I hit the post full speed, and it shattered my testicle into 7 pieces.
How dry is that testicle? Has it been dipped in liquid nitrogen? Why is it? Why are you a devil worshipper?
You know that the first thing I do is I made a pledge to the devil. The devil said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want brittle testicles." The devil said, "Okay, dude, your call,
dude." I mean, you could just unravel them a bit. They're just tubes, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, the devil said, "Why your testicle normally soft? What benefit, human?" And he says, "Well, because, you know, it'd be good if it could shatter during a match."
It would be a surprise for everyone.
How many pieces?
Seven. Lucky seven. Seven.
Yeah. No doctor comes in and says,
one, two, three. He just goes, "This ball's fucked."
Yeah. It's mashed.
Yeah. I'm not bothering putting that together. Seven pieces is too many pieces. I wouldn't do that to a skull, you idiot.
What doctor came in and went, "You have shattered your testicle into seven pieces. Are you a doctor?" Am I a doctor? Oh, God, no. God, no. No, I'm a practical joker. I fell in the ring. I remember telling the referee, "Can you give me a second? I just got hit in the nuts." I wrestled the full 22 minutes. I cut a promo after the match. I came backstage. I knew something was wrong. I collapsed.
I counted one, two, three.
I was crawling on the floor. I was in agony. My down there was swollen and protruding through my trunks. My down there. Oh, my God.
Alistair Blair.
Oh, I don't want to be rude, but my down there is hurting. And it's protruding through my trunks.
My testicles are doing a Humpty Dumpty.
There is a part of me that almost sounds like a long story where someone has said, "There's been a complaint that they saw something protruding through your trunks." And he's gone, my testicles shattered into seven pieces.
My nethers were shattered.
Yes, I carried on wrestling for 22 minutes, but I was in a lot of pain.
I promise you.
I came back and I was trying to put an ointment on it. A salve, if you will, on my down there. Oh man, naughty Alistair. What do you expect from Satanist?
You expect me on the Dutch?
I'm Dutch Satanist. Of course my down there is going to be a big part of what I do. It's basically all I'm thinking of constantly. he comes out in a sort of like devilish coat. Ooh. And it's looks like melted bin bags.
It looks like a Lord, not the main one out of Lordy.
It does.
Who recently got the jab.
Sometimes when you get those coats, they kind of go, "What would look really evil?"
There's a little face coming out of the side.
Horns. Soft horns. Make sure that when I take it off, they don't wobble.
Then they look, that would have stupid, wouldn't it?
I said one thing. I said, "Don't make it wobble." They've ragged it as well at the bottom. And that's that ragging thing. It's sort of like, "I'm so evil, I'm going to ruin my coat slightly."
Look,
evil, Mum, look what they've done to my coat. You know, stupid boy.
I went down a hill on my bum.
I'm going to hit you on your down there with this spoon. Lashley then comes out with Lana, and at this point Lashley hasn't clicked in the way that he will click by next year.
Right.
He's still very sort of, rather than his silence seeming like a big positive where he's intense, he seems a little bit lost. And he comes down with Lana. He's in a long storyline about her cuckolding her husband Rusev with Lashley.
Right.
It always plays into a horrible racial stereotype.
Yeah.
You know,
it's most a Pornhub these days. Yes.
But he comes out and there's a slight look on his face. I just get the feeling that he has been an elite athlete all his life. He's been a big amateur wrestler. Doesn't seem to quite get the showmanship element of pro wrestling. Certainly now he's found it. But back even a year ago, he still looked a bit unsure about the whole thing. And going in there against this sort of like occultist, I think Bobby Lashley would have a very, very, like all athletes, a very slim idea about what the occult was.
Yeah, what a pentagram was.
Yeah, and he'd see it. And I think he'd just go, "Don't like it."
Nerd.
Yeah.
Just, "I'm the jock, you're the nerd, I'm going to put you in a bin.
Who am I wrestling at WrestleMania?" And they go, "Oh, it's Aleister Black." And he'd go, "Oh."
He's the one who'd like, sometimes he'll come up to you and he's just got ink in his mouth. Just, "I don't like it. I don't know what he's getting out of this."
Yeah, I don't.
Do we even pay him?
I worried about how he smells and stuff like that. Thinking, you know, he might put a drug in my mouth. You know, just being really frightened.
He smells like bad lavender.
He does look like a school shooter. I don't, you know, and I'm clearly a jock. And I'm the person who's going to be mentioned in that fucking letter.
Yes, I'm going to be the picture in the newspaper.
Exactly that. Yeah. Look, this is a simple match. And what is surprising, considering that in a year, Black will have been fired and that Bobby Lashley will be in the main events as the champion. It is surprising that Aleister Black hits him with a black mass kick and just pins him. It's a lovely ending. And I love that protection of moves that they go, if you get hit with this finisher,
yes,
then it is over.
Mm.
And it plays obviously with like the main event, which is just all finishing moves, and it's how long can you kick out of them. Mm. That thing of just going a protected finishing move.
Mm.
So Bobby Lashley gets hit by it and it's over.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, really, really magic. The immediately they sort of do Bobby Lashley being angry with Lana. And again, I say this and I know, I don't know who I'm saying it to. I'm just saying it to our friends. I wish Vince McMahon would just listen to this one episode. I mean, he's had to sit through a lot about the Shattered Testicle.
Yeah, I mean, his solicitors shouldn't listen to any of them, in my opinion.
It's worth saying, legally binding, if you are a solicitor, you are not given allowance to listen to this podcast or any of the older episodes.
And if you are employed by the McMahons in any way, you are not allowed to, any wrestler.
Yeah,
really,
we are legally indemnifying ourselves. That's the thing. Look it up. I haven't.
Read the Magna Carta, prick.
The thing that's slightly annoying is when they have an angle that gets in the way of WrestleMania. I like WrestleMania to just come to a boom end.
Yeah.
This is where things are solved, not where things just continue and drift on. I am very furious about that.
Well, it's because he sort of controlled the match, and then sort of Black gets the win, and then and Lana told him to do a move.
Again, I often think that WrestleMania is the one night of the year where you're going to get a lot of eyes of casual fans. You get fans as well who have fallen out of love with wrestling, but you will sort of go, oh, do you know what? I will watch WrestleMania. And I think when you have those scraps of storylines that are there, you just watch it and you just go, oh, this is annoying.
Yeah, I'm not across this.
Not at all.
I feel kind of excluded.
When you think of all the WrestleManias that we've watched, which is now 36 of them, and certainly, you know, for the first sort of 20 years, there is nothing but either a build for a main event, which is someone is going to realise their destiny or not.
Yeah.
What there isn't is loads of bits where you go, oh, you should have seen the SmackDown 5 weeks ago, because that will have explained why this woman is now shouting. Because they're on the skids. What you need to know is she was married to this guy, but she's having an affair with him.
Mm.
It's been going fine, but, you know, fuck you. Fuck you. Give me a man monster falling off a cage. Don't give me... If I want to see a woman not overly happy with someone doing the best they can, I'll just fucking go home. You know, Jesus Christ, that was an obvious joke, but I was actually quite pleased with how it went.
I thought it was executed beautifully.
Thank you, Peter. I do.
I saw it coming, but I appreciate it.
Like that Tim Robinson thing, I sort of feel now, I sort of go, she gives me nothing but support. That little sketch of the guy playing things
the manager,
where...
She's always just supporting me.
Yeah, why did I even say that? You know?
No, I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
Because she usually supported me when the man kept on getting the lines really quickly. I'm going to get those lines.
We were watching a bit Royal Rumble 93 this morning.
Yeah.
And Liz called me out of... I was just popping in the shower, so I was doing my teeth. Mm. And she said, come quickly, come quickly. And it was Giant Gonzalez was there.
Yeah.
And it's funny when you see somebody who's never seen Giant Gonzalez before, and they really just go, this is something special.
It is.
I had to break it to her gently.
He doesn't kick around.
He does not kick around. Yes. Yeah, so look, everyone, thank you so much. That is the first part of WrestleMania 36 Night 2. Just look, guys, if you've got a partner
problem
or people you care about in your life,
I'll kick him the balls.
Don't go on a podcast and start like dissing them.
Yeah.
Just tell them you love them.
Yeah.
And then RKO them out of nowhere. And you can tell them as they lie on the floor writhing that that was a gift from WrestleMe.
WrestleMe is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.